The others who had other things that aren't said, they have to have accounts to give, but you don't have any accounts. Do you guys understand? Sometimes you want something, you come to Allah, but what you got to have is before your salah, you have to have the sabr. And what the most important Allah said? Allah should have said this. Allah should have said, "Inna Allah ma'al musallin." I, as Allah, am going to always be with the ones who offer salah to me. Allah said two ways to get His help. How many ways? Come on, guys, talk to me, because some of you had dinner, you've come to the masjid. I can see your eyes, you know, slightly, you know, getting red. And please stay awake, yeah? So tell me, how many ways? Two ways. What's number one? Everybody together, please. What's number one? What's number two? Salah. What's more important out of sabr and salah? Salah is more important because it's very important, yes? And Allah should have said, when He said, "Inna Allaha ma'a," Allah will surely be with, He should have said, "I'm surely with the ones who offer the salah." But He didn't. He said what? "Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin." Surely as Allah, I will always be with those who will have sabr, who will have patience. And the big question is, why Allah? Why? Why is it that salah is the second pillar of Islam? Why is it that in salah we're doing your ibadah, we're bowing down to you, we're doing ruku, we're doing everything, yet you don't promise to be with me because I'm praying, but you promise to be with those who have patience? Why? Because of my servants, those who will pray for me will be many, many people. But those who will have patience for my sake will not be that many. Those who will come and pray again, he prayed and he got what he wanted, then he left and he never came again, will be many, many who will do that. Those who will come desperately to me and they will pray to me, they will come because they're desperate, I know them. Those of them that I give to them, once I gift it to them, they will turn away. There are many from the human beings that do that regularly. وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَى رَبَّهُ. When a human being has a problem that is bothering him, that is bothering her, دَعَى رَبَّهُ, they come and they make dua to Allah. Most human beings today have a problem in their life because they have a lack of sabr. Do you guys understand or you don't understand? You understand? 10 people said yes, subhanAllah. I think you are the most intelligent, the most bright people. May Allah bless all of you. And may Allah give guidance to the rest to understand. Say ameen. Let me ask the question again. Do you guys understand what I said, yes or no?
Yes.
So you got more intelligence. See, the dua already worked. SubhanAllah. Brother, you said yes first time. I made a dua straight away. Then they all said yes after that dua worked immediately. SubhanAllah. Most of the problems we got on this earth is because you have not got sabr. I tell you how. Husband has complained about wife. Wife has got complaints about husband. Parents complained about children. Children with parents. You got children, siblings with siblings. You got, you know, employers with employees, employees with other employees. You got colleagues with colleagues. You got so many different complaints. If you've got one master key. Master key is to be able to master sabr. Once you've got sabr, subhanAllah, life is wonderful. Life is wonderful. Because what you do is, you're in a problem, but you're able to soothe yourself down. See, your problem will not go. This is what I said to you earlier. All your problems will never disappear. But what happens is, the one who's got the master key, which is sabr, is no matter what problem you're in, you're always still happy with yourself. You're always able to get through life no matter how bad it gets. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us a solution. And this solution you need to take. If you want to use the master key, there's a way to use the master key. And the way to use the master key is in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Man nazara ila man dunahu. Whosoever will look at someone who is this, let me tell you the first one, then I'll tell you the second one. مَنْ نَظَرَ إِلَى مَنْ فَوْقَهُ. Whosoever will look at someone who's got more than them in terms of the worldly gains,
who's got more than them in this life of this earth, whosoever will look at someone who's got more than them, then that person will never have true sabr. They will never be thankful. They will always have a complaint. They will always be moaning. You guys understand? You understand? مَنْ نَظَرَ إِلَىٰ مَنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْهُ. Whosoever will look at someone who has less than them in terms of this world, who is more, who has got less than them, who is less fortunate than them, then that person will be sabiran, that person will have patience, and that person will be grateful, that person will be thankful, that person will be able to withhold themselves. You guys understand? Now let me give you an example, because I don't think you understood it properly. A man has a car and he has got a really nice 4x4 car. What has he got? 4x4 car. You don't have a 4x4. You look at his car and you say, I wish I had that. You guys understand? If you, the moment you say, I wish I had that, you're from the first category who looks at someone who's got more than them in the world, or you're from the category who looks at people who got less than them in the world? Which one? With the first one. Will you be a person of sabr or not? Will you have complaints, yes or no? Yes, you're going to complain. You're going to get jealous. You're going to complain. You're not going to feel good about yourself. You're going to say, he got 4x4, huh? 4x4, huh? How he get 4x4, huh? Look at his salary, look at his salary, how he get 4x4? You got people like that or not? Yes? They moan. Now the day he gets a 4x4, he's still not happy. Because he looks at another man who has got 4x4 with bulletproof. Which you guys need in South Africa. We don't need bulletproof cars where we are. We got Brexit, we're happy. You guys, you got the 4x4, but now he's looking at bulletproof. He moans about the other guy with bulletproof. Man has a house. He looks at the other house. He's complaining. Woman looks at her curtains. She goes to another house. She comes back to her house. She complains to her husband. Our curtains are looking a bit old, nah? They're looking like they need some changing, nah? She comes home. She starts complaining. Why is she complaining? Because she's looking at people who've got more. If you follow the principle of always looking at people who got more than you, you will moan, you'll be very miserable, you will be people who don't, you know, feel good about themselves, you will always feel you got a lack inside you. But the Prophet ﷺ said the way to use the skeleton key is anything in life, you always look at people who've got less than you. You look at a man with a 4x4 and you've got just a normal Toyota car, what will you say? You say, Alhamdulillah, I've got a car. Alhamdulillah, I've got a car. That man has got a bicycle. You understand? That man has got a bicycle. That man doesn't have a car. You've got a house that is nice. You look at a better house, no. You look at the man who's on the streets, you're going to feel good. You look at the man who's got a smaller house, then you're going to feel good. You look at the person who's got less than you in anything, you feel good. But not good in a bad sense. Not good because you're now feeling proud, no. You wish the best for the people who got less than you, but at least you're happy with yourself. And any person you come across with who's got more than you, you say, Alhamdulillah. What do you say, brothers? What do you say? Say loudly. Alhamdulillah. There should be not a single case after this about jealousy in your community, okay? Because wherever there's businessmen, you call them businessmen in your South African thing. How do you say it? Businessmen. But they got businessmen, you got jealousy. More money, more business, more jealousy. Yes or no?
Yes.
You don't want to admit to it. You don't have to admit to it. I'm telling you the truth. It's the truth. The more money you got around, the more jealousy you've got around. But what we need is, we need more people who look at others who got less than them. Then you've mastered the key towards life. You'll be happy for the rest of your life. Doesn't matter where you go, where you are. Somebody passed away in your family. You will say what? You'll say, Alhamdulillah, I had my father in my life for 65 years. Alhamdulillah, that boy over there, he only had his father for 12 years in his life. Will you feel good about yourself or not? Yes, you wish the best for him and his father. You're not going to say anything bad about him and father, but you're going to feel good. Somebody got ill in your family. You're going to say in one way, you're going to say, Allah give shifa, yes. But at the same time, you're going to feel good that all these years Allah kept my mother without an illness. I thank Allah for that. I thank Allah for that. But that other person, at least my mother is mobile. At least my mother can get up and she can go to the toilet. That other household, I've heard about them, may Allah give them shifa to say ameen. That's how you got to look at the world. But their mother is immobile. She's on a wheelchair. They have to clean her. And I don't have that musibah, that level of problems in my household. I'm going to praise Allah and make dua for me and for them as well. But at least I feel somewhat, privileged, because Allah has still given me good. So Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, come to me for solution, but don't forget the master key. The master key is sabr. With that, you'll be able to get through life. But what is more important than the master key? Because you can't just have the master key. You need to actually come to Allah and pray. Some people, I don't want you to walk away now and say, Imam came from UK and he said, just have the master key and every problem solved, huh? Everything solved, no salah needed, huh? No salah, no, I'm not saying that. Salah is very important. Now, this is the second part. Salah, have prayer for me, but because when you come to me, you will find that there is a connection with me. You come to me, you know me, you talk to me, I talk back to you. And when we talk back to one another, you will feel calm and you will feel soothed inside you. You remember me, I remember you. You just have need Allah, but I don't know. You remember me and you take my name. I remember you in front of the angels. You say, Allah, Allah. I say, Ibrahim, Ibrahim. You say, Allah, Allah. I say, Zainab, Zainab. You say, Allah, give me this solution. I will say to my angels, my servant has stood in front of me and my servant is looking for a solution from me. You take my name, I take your name. You take my name in front of others, I will take your name in front of the angels. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. You remember me and I will remember you. وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And no matter what situation I put you in, always show thanks to me and don't be ungrateful towards me. This is just before the ayah about offering the salah. This is the very important part. Why? Because salah is about remembering Allah, so Allah gives something back. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We've got some people who do their salah so that they can just tick off a box. They grew up because their parents said, hey, you prayed? Hey, quickly pray. If you don't pray, you go to hellfire. Huh? Is that how you're bringing up your children? You don't pray, you go to hellfire. It is true. It's a true statement. If you don't pray, then you go to hellfire. But is that the way to introduce the salah to children? Because they're going to say, okay, I'm going to pray to make sure that this God doesn't throw me in hellfire. That's the only reason why I'm going to pray. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It is a true fact. If you don't pray, then you go to hellfire. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. When the people of Jahannam will be asked, what brought you here? They will say, we never used to offer salat. It's a true statement. But that's not the way to give da'wah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. O Messenger, I sent you to the people that you will give them good news first, and then you will warn them of the evil lying ahead of them. Bashira wa nadhira. Give people good news, then tell them the bad news. Bashiru wa la tunaffiru, yassiru wa la tu'assiru. Hadith of Bukhari. Bashiru wa la tunaffiru. Give people good news and don't chase them away from Islam by talking about negative, negative, negative. Yassiru wa la tu'assiru. Make it easy for people, don't make it difficult for people. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you're going to tell the children to pray, this is the way to say. My child, stand in front of Allah, offer your prayer in front of Allah, because when you offer your prayer in front of Allah, Allah will be there to listen to what you say to Him. My son, my daughter, when you stand in front of Allah and you offer your salah, then Allah Azza wa Jalla has kept a garden for you in the next world. And for each prayer that you're going to do, that garden is going to get sweeter and sweeter for you. In fact, if my son, my daughter, if you're able to offer salah with devotion, if you're able to put your heart in salah, then Allah has promised only two places in the Quran of Jannatul Firdaus. And one of those places that Allah has promised for you in the highest abode of Jannah, in the eighth grade of Jannah, in the highest place of Jannah, in the place where all the Anbiya will be, in the place where all the Sahaba will be, in the place where all of them will have houses there, and you will have a house next to them, in the place where all the four rivers of Jannah come directly from the Arsh of Allah, from the throne of Allah, they land onto Jannatul Firdaus. You guys understand? فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّمَّا إِنْ غَيْرُ آسٍ. Allah says that there are rivers of Jannah that will be pure water. There are going to be rivers of pure milk that will never go off. There will be fiha anharun min khamril ladhatil lisharibin. There are going to be rivers that will flow in Jannah. And these rivers will be of wine that will be really delicious and tasty for those who drink them. Fiha anharun min asalin musaffa. I have kept many, many different rivers in Jannah that will flow with honey. And this honey will be something that you will never find that is unclear. No, clear, crystal clear honey for you. And all of those rivers, the river of water, the river of milk, the river of wine, and the river of honey, all of these, minha tatafajjaru anharul Jannah. From the throne of Allah, which is the roof of Jannatul Firdaus, all of those four rivers flow straight into Jannatul Firdaus. Oh my son, oh my daughter, if you pray in front of Allah with your devoted heart, then Allah has said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. Those people will inherit a portion of Jannah, only a few people will inherit. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Those who will inherit Firdaus, Jannatul Firdaus, this portion of Jannah, hum fiha khalidun. And my son, my daughter, you will be there forever and forever, forever. La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. There will never be any fear for you, never be anything for you to worry about. And then you say, ma salakakum fi saqar. Oh my son, oh my daughter, if you decide not to pray in your life, if you decide not to pray in your life, then what it means is that every day of your life, your Lord was most merciful to you. Your Lord made you wake up in the morning, your Lord gave you life. Your Lord fed you in the morning, your Lord made you pass your urine with ease, made you go to the toilet without any pain. Your Lord kept you alive, your Lord made all your 300 plus bones in your body work very well. Your Lord kept away from you pain. Your Lord made you have a lovely day. Your Lord made you smile in the day. Your Lord made you intelligent. Your Lord gave you friends. Your Lord gave you power. Your Lord gave you money. Your Lord day after day started to make you stronger and stronger. Your Lord looked after you while you were sleeping. He never made your limbs stiff. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. Even in your sleep, your Lord turned you around, turned your body around so that you wouldn't wake up with a stiff body in the morning. Your Lord gave you a mother, your Lord gave you a father, your Lord gave you a house, your Lord gave you a shelter, your Lord gave you a beautiful face, your Lord gave you people who like you, your Lord gave you a lot of good attraction on this earth. And after spending days and days, after spending years and years where you take your gifts of your Lord, you never once stood in front of your Lord and you never said thanks to Him. For that reason, my son, my daughter, when you reach your Lord and you get back to Him, then He will throw you into the fire. And when you asked what made you come into hellfire, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ, your answer will be that in the world I received all those gifts from my Lord, but I never stood in front of Allah to pray. Do you understand? When you put both of them together, the Jannah, Jahannam together, you make the Jannah first, you make it lovely, then our kids will want to pray. Do you understand? This thing about, hey, quickly pray, eh? Jahannam is coming. Aha. Is that the way to just continuously, you know, mentally disturb the child? That's not the way. Can I have a few more minutes extra? Is that going to be okay? So, who's the imam here? Imam, have you got any power here? You don't have power here. Let me ask you the first question. Before I ask you whether you give permission, you're already going red, so you have no power. The committee members, can I ask you kindly to have a few more minutes so that I can finish? Is that okay with you guys? If nobody says anything, I will carry on. I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you three. Done. None of you spoke. I'm going to go a few minutes over if that's okay. Allah Azza wa Jal says, oh human being, you stand in front of me and you come in front of me with what? First, you don't just come in front of me, you go and clean yourself because you have certain minor sins which are on you. I want to get rid of the minor sins. When a Muslim stands up and he washes his face, then all the sins that you committed with your eyes, all the sins that you, minor sins you committed with your tongue, all of them are washed away with the wudu that you have just done. When a Muslim gets up and he washes his arms, then all the haram things that your hands touched, all the haram things it went towards of the minor sins, Allah will wash them away with your wudu. And when you wash your feet, then all the places you went towards sin that are minor sins, Allah will wash them. The major sins you have to do tawbah for, so they don't get washed away. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu idha qumtum ila salah. Oh, you who believe, when you want to come to me for prayer, then the first thing is that you do this wudu, then you come in front of me. When you come in front of me, then I want you to raise your hands and tell me who is the biggest, tell me who is the greatest, tell me who is the biggest thing you've got. Start to think to yourself that all the great things in your life, everything that you've had in your life, every ni'mah, every blessing, everything that you've got in your life, all the gifts, all the money, all the lusts, all the desires, all the games, all the amusements, all the attractions, all the things that you've received, what is the greatest thing you have? And I want you to say this after having a good thought. You will say, you will raise your hands and you will surrender. And you will say, Allahu Akbar, oh Allah, you are greater than everything I have. Oh my servant, you will stand in front of me, you will say that. Then before you ask me for something, you will stand up and you will talk to me. So the servant stands up in front of Allah and says, Subhanakallahumma. Oh Allah, you are free from every blame that is out there. Subhanakallahumma. There might be blame here, there might be blame there. There's a deficiency here, there's a deficiency here. But oh Allah, you are completely free from all blame. You are completely free from all deficiencies. You are pure 100%. You are majestic. Subhanakallahumma. Wa bihamdika. And here I am praising you. Wa tabaraka smuka. Your name is so blessed. Wa ta'ala jadduka. And so high is your majesty. Wa la ilaha ghayruk. And there is no other Lord besides you. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek your protection from the outcast's shaitan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the one who has mercy on all of his servants, whether they believe in him or they don't believe in him. This is Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman, the one who has mercy on the one who disbelieves and has mercy on the one who believes. Ar-Rahim, the one who has specific mercy for the believers. I start in your name, and the first thing that I will say, after anything I want to, before anything I want to say, I want to admit something to you. Oh Allah, before I put my needs in front of you, before I ask you for something, I want to say something to you. And this I'm going to say from the bottom of my heart, oh Allah, whether I look left, whether I look right, whether I look in front of me, whether I look behind me, whether I look above me, whether I look beneath me, whether I look in my history of my life, whether I look in the presence of my life, whether I think about the future of my life, whether I think about the house of my life, whether I think about the family of my life, one thing I have to admit to you, oh Allah, I admit to you from the bottom of my heart. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, for everything I ever received in my life, for every gift I ever had in my life, for every time I have received something without ever asking you, because I know that many times I never asked you, but you still gave to me. 99.9% of my life has gone without asking you, but you still gave me. 0.1% was when I asked you and you gave me. Do you guys understand? 99.9% of my life I never asked you whether you can make me walk without slipping on the ground, but you made me do that. My feet were fine, my clothes were fine, my whole life was fine, and I never asked you for that, you gave me that. So Allah, every single praise that ever is due, whether it's from me, on behalf of my parents, on behalf of my family, on behalf of my friends, on behalf of my beloved ones, on behalf of all the musallis of my masjid, on behalf of all the people on the world, on behalf of every human, every jinn that has gone before, on behalf of all the creation that you've created, which you've always looked after, Rabbil Alameen, you provided every single one of them from the beginning of time till today. You continue to pray, you continue to give them, and I'm saying to you in front of you right now that all that praise only you deserve. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Now you understand the beginning of Fatiha. You understand the beginning? Beginning of Fatiha is a massive ayah. It's not a small ayah. It's not just I'm giving you praise for what you gave me. No. Everything that you looked after in the whole of the creation that you created, all of the praise, whether people want to praise you, they don't want to praise you, it belongs to you. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, O Allah, you have mercy on those. You have mercy on those who will listen to you. You have mercy on those who don't listen to you. O Allah, you are specifically mercy, Ar-Rahim. On the Day of Judgment, you will have specific mercy. Maliki Yawmiddin, I know that I have to come back to you on the Day of Judgment, and you are going to give me something back within, in accordance to my action, but I'm asking you right now, please, in this world and in the next world. Iyyaka na'budu, only you do I serve. Wa iyyaka nasta'in, and only you can give me the solution, and only can you give me the help. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, I'm asking you put me on that pathway, the pathway that is straight, the pathway that all those people who you have favored beforehand, of Adam alayhi salam, of Nuh alayhi salam, of Hud alayhi salam, of Salih alayhi salam, of Ibrahim, of Ismail, of Ishaq, of Musa, of Yunus, of Dawood, of Sulaiman, of Zakaria, of Isa, of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of all the prophets that you've sent, the pathway that you bestowed upon them. I want you to put me in the footsteps of these people. And all the other people that you love and are beloved to you, put me on the pathway of those people. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Oh Allah, the people that earned your anger, like Fir'aun, like Qarun. Fir'aun went away because of his power. Qarun went away because of his wealth. Qawm Shu'ayb got destroyed because of the greed of wealth. Qawm Lut, because of the lust they had inside them. Qawm Ibrahim, because of their forefathers. Qawm Nuh, because of their stubbornness. Qawm Musa, because of them going not listening to him and disobeying him. Oh Allah, I ask you to save me from all these different pathways, and I'm asking you to put me on the straight path. Now, the person reads in front of Allah. He then reads a surah, he goes into ruku, and when he goes into ruku, then it's like Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. in this position where my head is low, my back is straight, my legs are upright, my head is low in front of Allah, I say, oh Allah, my Lord, you are great, but you are absolutely pure. Nothing ever you have done wrong, nothing ever you are doing wrong, nothing ever you will ever do wrong. And I admit to that in my ruku, Sami Allahu liman hamida. The one who has praised Allah, Allah has accepted it from him. The one who has praised Allah, Allah has heard that individual. Rabbana walakal hamd. Oh my Lord, our Lord, all praise belongs to you. Allahu Akbar, you are greater than all my desires, greater than my life, greater than my death, greater than the things you've given me, greater than the things that I don't have. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, with my nose on the ground, with my forehead on the ground, I'm going to say to you, oh Allah, my Lord, the Most High, you have done everything, but yet you have not done anything wrong. That's what Subhana means. Subhana means you're free from everything anyone has ever accused you of. And I'm telling you, you have done no wrong. When me and you, my brothers and my sisters, when we learn how to offer salah like this, then you will find that the treasures will open for you. But my final thing, I know some of you are really, really do want the adhan to be done and the salah to start, inshallah. I'm going to tell you, get your master key out. If anybody complains that they never got the master key. Okay, just one more minute, I'm going to finish. One moment, please, Muadzin, please, 1 minute. I've got a story to say. Is the Muadzin going to give the adhan? Is he? So 1 minute, let me say a story, inshallah, you can give the adhan. A brother in Leicester, in the UK, I met, this is a true story. I said to him, how are you? And he said, he's fine. Very short story, very, very powerful story. I said to him, tell me how things, and as we're talking, he says, Hassan, he said, I'm okay. I said, tell me, how are you okay, how's things? He said, Hassan, anything that happens, I just do 2 rakats, and Allah gives me what I want. I said, tell me a story. He said, well, he said, the other day, he said, Hassan, he said, I raised the money to go to Hajj. It's a true story of a true individual I met in my life. I raised the money to go to Hajj, and it was all prepared and ready. I went to the masjid to pray the Dhuhr Salah, and a group of people came because they were raising money for Palestine. And they told us at that time the intifada things was going on, so they appealed for the people who need the money. And he said, I gave my entire Hajj money, because he already did his fard Hajj, he had to do his nafal Hajj. So because it's his third or fourth nafal Hajj, he thought, okay, let me give the money away. He gave this entire money away to the Palestinian project. Then he went home and he thought, I wanted to go to Hajj. So what did he do? He said, Hassan, I got from Musalla and I prayed 2 rakats to Allah. Oh Allah, I gave all my Hajj money away. I still want to go to Hajj. Please take me to Hajj. He went to the masjid for Asr. He prayed his Asr. He did his salam with the Imam. Imam said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. He finished his salah. They're sitting there for dhikr. The brother next to him in a suit, just taps him. Says, Assalamu alaikum. Said, wa alaikum salam to him. He says, this brother in the suit says to him, he said, brother, would you like to go to Hajj? I bought 2 tickets, but I'm not able to go. My wife is not able to go. I will offer you the 2 tickets for free. He asked from Allah. What did he get? What did he get? Buy one, get one free. He asked for one, he got 2. So that's my thing. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you.